There have been several officer-involved shootings in the Valley over the past few weeks. In some of those situations, the suspects pursued by officers had previously committed crimes, often violent crimes. Could or should those suspects have still been in prison? Joining me for a few minutes to offer insights more generally on sentencing guidelines in Arizona is retired Superior Court Judge Ronald Reinstein. Judge Reinstein is now a judicial consultant for the state Supreme Court. Judge Reinstein, good morning.
Good morning.
In general, can you give us what the greatest challenges are for a judge when it comes to Arizona sentencing guidelines?
Well, we've had the criminal code for, I don't think it's really been revised since 1994. And most of the cases that come before judges are decided by plea agreements. In Maricopa County, I think it's 98% of the cases are decided by plea agreements. So it's fashioned by the prosecution and the defense, and the judge sometimes has very little discretion as to what the sentence is going to be. There's a movement around the country to restore some more judicial discretion or to change the criminal codes in some states, some of them much more conservative than Arizona. But, the challenge is deciding whether to accept or reject a plea agreement. If you reject a plea agreement, then the sentence could be harsher for the defendant, or it could be, up to a jury to make a decision. And that's something prosecutors, defense attorneys do every day.
When you're talking about 98%, it almost begs the question of whether, what's the point of the judge? Those of us who are lay people think of the judge as actually in control of the courtroom and having more discretion. Is that frustrating? Do you think it leads to outcomes that aren't so great?
Well, don't get me wrong. When I talk about 98% of the cases being decided by plea agreement, the plea sometimes doesn't stipulate to a particular sentence. It may have a range of sentence that the judge can impose, within the bounds of what the parties have agreed to. But if you want to go below that or above that, you have to reject the plea agreement.
Drug-related sentences have received a lot of focus. Attorney General Eric Holder has recently addressed the topic and has frequently. What are the challenges there, specifically when it relates to Arizona, as far as how long a drug offender should be in jail and when someone commits an offense for a second time?
Well, this may be the area that's most ripe for review by the Arizona legislature. When you commit a sale of, say, narcotic drugs or marijuana or dangerous drugs in a very small amount, say a $10 or $20 sale, and you do it several times, and police officers can go to one corner and arrest somebody, and then they find the same guy in another corner or on a different day, or if they have prior felony convictions, such as a prior possession of marijuana or a prior possession of narcotic drug, the mandatory sentence can often exceed the sentence, let's say, for a residential burglary or a more violent crime, because the more priors that you have, the greater chance that you're going to have, a very high sentence, because a sale of a drug, even if it's an attic seller as opposed to, somebody who's doing it for profit, the sentence can range up to 35 years in prison if a person has two prior felony convictions.
How enlightened would a legislature have to be to change things that almost, we always hear about elected officials not wanting to appear soft in some sense, but if you're talking about drug crimes like that, is the concept of treatment, is that working in other places? Is that something that if Arizona focused more on that, that would be a plus and would in fact maybe make our jails less crowded?
Well, the examples that I can give you as far as other states, Texas has been one of the leaders in the country on modifying their sentencing provisions. Kansas as well, Kentucky, several other states in the South. And they did it for one reason or another. Oftentimes it was because they noticed that they were spending more money on prison beds than for education and child care and health issues and the like. So, they did a comprehensive review. They looked at the research on, reducing recidivism, taking a look at who was in their prison population, whether they were low-risk offenders or high-risk offenders. And, it's been an area that's been ripe in some of the states to greatly reduce the budget for prisons, but at the same time, reducing recidivism. We've had that similar success with people who are on adult probation in Arizona. We've reduced technical violators to prison, people who haven't committed new crimes, but just haven't followed the rules of probation by about 40% on sitting in a prison, and also reduction in new crimes by about 40% for those probationers. Just working with them more, using the research, using good supervision tools.
How much flexibility should there be when it comes to sentencing, especially when it comes to violent criminals? That's one of the reasons I wanted to talk with you, because we've heard about some of these officer-involved shootings of late that involved recidivists. I think most people, just not knowing the system, would say a violent criminal should be serving all of his or her time.
Well, the problem is you don't know who's going to be violent later on. So somebody who commits a burglary or a car theft, at some point in time, they escalate. And one of the best ways to tell or try to predict somebody is to, submit a risk assessment on them when they're actually in the system. And if they're a high risk to reoffend or a high risk for violence, there are some research tools out there that do that. But it's kind of a crapshoot. I mean, you really can't predict if somebody has committed a nonviolent offense whether they're going to become violent. If somebody has a violent history, then, our laws for people who have dangerous priors are pretty severe, pretty strict, and I think adequately, address those. But if you're a first-time offender as a violent offender, and you have no other crimes on the current charge, the judge and the prosecutor have little range to deal with. For example, if you've got an armed robbery, you're looking at 7 to 21 years in prison, and the normal average sentence would be 10 and a half years. And many times you'll see a plea agreement reached to stipulate to the presumptive term. Person gets out in, probably 9 years out of the 10 and a half years, and then who knows what's going to happen next. It's very unpredictable, just like people are unpredictable.
Yeah. Retired Superior Court Judge Ronald Reinstein. Judge Reinstein, thank you for the time this morning.
Thank you, Steve.
Some legal scholars in Arizona have called for the modification of the state sentencing guidelines and the creation of a new sentencing commission. With perspectives on that and other aspects of sentencing in Arizona, Elizabeth Ortiz joins me. She's Executive Director of the Arizona Prosecuting Attorneys Advisory Council. Elizabeth, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Can you give us an idea of the general thoughts of prosecutors in Arizona as it relates to sentencing guidelines? Is Arizona doing it right as far as they're concerned?
Yeah, Steve, I think Arizona is doing it right. And let me tell you what I base that opinion on. A few years ago, we heard the rumblings that you hear, that the media has heard. That is that the wrong people were in prison, that the prisons were filled with first-time low-level offenders. I'm a career prosecutor, Steve, and so I knew what I had seen in the courtroom, but I knew that may not reflect what was going on across Arizona. So what my agency, the Arizona Prosecuting Attorneys Advisory Council, did was to go about pulling the data from the Department of Corrections to get that snapshot of exactly who was and who was not in prison. What we found, what that data showed, was that the vast majority of the people in prison are the violent offenders.
And Elizabeth, are those folks serving enough time? When we hear about these officer-involved shootings of late, they're recidivist folks, and in some cases, folks who have committed violent crimes in the past. For some of us, it seems, why are those people out of jail in the first place?
And I had the opportunity to hear a portion of your interview with Judge Reinstein, who I'm well acquainted with and is extremely well-versed on this topic. As he was pointing out, Arizona laws for the repeat offenders, for the violent offenders, do provide for quite substantial sentences. And in my opinion, we do have the tools necessary under our current sentencing guidelines.
Elizabeth, going forward, are there any modifications you'd like to see? Maybe if they may be small, they may be large, but can the Prosecuting Advisory Council work with the legislature on these things? Have you been working with the legislature?
Oh, we absolutely work with the legislature. And let me tell you what we do. And as I said, a few years ago, we commissioned a report from a retired statistician from the Department of Corrections, someone who doesn't have a vested interest in prosecution or in defense or any of those. He just is a numbers guy. And as I told you, the results of that report showed that the people in prison are the violent repeat offenders. we commissioned a second report a few years later in 2011. It showed that those trends, in fact, had increased. So an even greater percentage of the people in prison were the violent first-time offenders. And we're currently, Steve, just so you know, commissioning yet a third updated version of that report. So we look forward to having that data. What we do with that data, though, is to share that with anyone and everyone who is a decision maker, in particular the legislator. We work with them. We provide them with that information. We seek out opportunities to be involved in stakeholder groups regarding these discussions. Something else that the prosecutors seek out opportunities to do, though, is to be proactive in other types of sentencing issues and in treatment issues, such as these specialty courts for veterans, for people with substance abuse problems. So we've also been looking at the offenders who target our communities in those ways, as opposed to simply looking at who needs to be in prison.
Elizabeth, are Arizona's prisons overcrowded at this point? And does that hurt prosecutors when they go forward and thinking about a plea agreement or whatnot? Does it tie prosecutors' hands on occasion because they can't put someone away for as long as they'd like to?
No, Steve. And again, you know, I'm a career prosecutor. I was with the Maricopa County Attorney's Office for 16 years before having the opportunity to come to the Prosecutor's Advisor Council. Prisons are not overcrowded. There is room for who needs to be in prison. But furthermore, I can tell you from the viewpoint of a line prosecutor, somebody who's in court looking at a case, that is my focus. My focus is what is appropriate, what is necessary to protect my community in this particular case. So I was not looking at who may or may not be in prison. I was only focused on what was in front of me and doing the best job that I could on that particular case.
Elizabeth Ortiz is Executive Director of the Arizona Prosecuting Attorneys Advisory Council. Elizabeth, thank you for joining us for a few minutes. We appreciate it.